Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, February 18, 2022. Authorities in Unity State say 12 people died during a cattle raid in Laird County.
The youth of Colt County and Magendie have agreed to come and attack the youth of Laird County. They started on 15 and 16. Our youth has refund number.
And the new report predicts looming crisis in South Sudan after the end of the transitional period.
We release a early warning risk list every year, and South Sudan has been in our top 20 for years, and currently this year the U.S. Holocaust Museum Simon Scott Center is ranking South Sudan as 16th highest in the world to have a new event of a mass killing of civilians.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Unity State say at least 12 people died and 11 others were injured during clashes between young armed men on Wednesday and Thursday in Laird County. The commissioner of Laird County accuses commissioners of Magendie and Koch counties of allegedly mobilizing young men to attack Laird and raid cattle. The commissioner of Magendie County denies the accusations. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
Laird County Commissioner Stephen Takir says armed young men from neighboring Koch and Magendie counties attacked in his area on Wednesday and Thursday. Takir says at least 12 people from his county were killed and several others were injured in the clashes.
The youth of Koch County and Magendie have agreed to come and attack the youth of Laird County. They started on 15th and 16th. Our youth has refunded them back. The culture is in our side as a later youth. We have 12 in number, and then we have 11 wounded. It is something. It is unfair. We are a Unity State. This is what Dr. Joseph Mantuin, as a governor of Unity State, and there is a two county commissioners are planning to attack another county. What kind of that? I just control my county completely. But I told my youth, don't go to Koch, don't go to Magendie. What it happened from two counties, and you refund them back, but don't go anywhere.
Commissioner Takir says he told men in his county to fight in self-defense only. He accuses Magendie and Koch County commissioners of mobilizing the young men who attacked Laird County. The commissioner is calling on the office of Unity State Governor Joseph Mointuil to investigate the attacks and hold the two county commissioners responsible for fueling intercommunal violence.
Magendie County Commissioner and Koch County Commissioner, they went and met together in a place called Mirmid. Mirmid is the area of Koch. They went there and agreed that youth of Magendie and youth of Koch will go and attack the youth of Laird County. Without reason, people are in peace. As if it's a matter of IO, there is no IO at the moment. There is no IG, there is no SWAT, there is no whatever at the moment. People are in peace. But actually, I don't know what is the plan from two county commissioners. That they are planning, they give orders to their youth, you just go and bring the cows.
Magendie County Commissioner Gatluag Nyang denies any involvement in their fighting and accused armed youth from Laird of attacking residents of Magendie. Nyang says one person was killed and 13 others were injured in Roop North County during the fighting.
There was a very big attack. It was a very heavy attack from the youth of armed youth from Laird. They came targeting where the camp's cattle of Magendie are, which is Rubnor. When they reach Rubnor, then they start fighting with the youth of Magendie. But after 20 minutes, then the youth of Magendie went to push them back to their territory. And then when they are coming, they burn some houses in Luan and Nyal, even in some Rubnor.
Commissioner Nyang is calling on state officials to organize a community peace dialogue between the communities of Magendie and Laird counties to put an end to cattle raids in the area. Koch County Commissioner Gordon Kong Biel also denies involvement.
That information is not a truth. We met with Comrade Gadluck so that our youth stay in peace. The information I have is that it is M who met the mobilization for youth to attack Mayendit. We as the people of Koch, we have no problem with the people of Adogbar or Ler.
Stephen Salam, the security advisor in Unity State, says he is not aware of any commissioner that mobilized young men for an attack.
You find the cause first. Who mobilized the youth to his stolen cow? Is it Takir or is it Galwanya or is it Kwang? No, Takir could not talk with the youth of Ler, you go and take the cow from Mayendit. No. Galwak not mobilize the youth. Leave your cow should be taken by youth of Ler. No. It was started from the thief. And then thief of Ler come and took the Mayendit cow. And the owner of cow ran after their cattle. When they reached the fort was start.
Okay.
Yeah, for what I know here as a security advisor, there is no any mobilization.
Deng Mon Lier, the Director General in the Ministry of Information in Unity State, says the office of Governor Joseph Moinuel has been informed about the fighting and is investigating the attacks.
The commissioners should not only resort on accusing each other, because when the incident started, it started in the area called Mirmir of Koch County. And then after a day, 2 days, it intensified to other areas of Ler and Mayendit County. Then we have received the information that the conflict or confrontation remained between the armed youth of Ler and Mayendit County as well. The government is planning to actually form a committee that will carry out the investigation.
Ler has condemned the fighting. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
The U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum released a report entitled Immediate Risk of Mass Atrocities in South Sudan. The February 2022 policy brief says national tension is mounting in South Sudan ahead of a promised 2023 election. Nicole Widesham is policy advisor at the Simon Scott Center for Prevention of Genocide. She said armed conflict, ethnic discrimination, impunity for mass atrocities, the unification of government and opposition forces, and the expected 2023 elections could all contribute to commissions of mass atrocities against civilians in South Sudan.
We release a early warning risk list every year, and South Sudan has been in our top 20 for years, and currently this year, the U.S. Holocaust Museum Simon Scott Center is ranking South Sudan as 16th highest in the world to have a new event of a mass killing of civilians. And when we started to look into it, we have found four primary drivers that is driving risk of mass killing of civilians in the future. So these four overarching elements right now and factors of South Sudan, the armed conflict, the discrimination and ethnic discrimination in politics, the impunity and the humanitarian situation are the primary drivers that we see.
And the brief also says in the lead up to this future, which you fear, and you did mention that it's not inevitable, that tension is increasing at the national level. What do you think is causing that?
With the combination of the four elements I just said, on the backdrop of the country preparing for a national election, is definitely going to be consuming the entire nation. There's also folks that are steeped in the activities and tracking the activities of the militia and the clashes between various militias and opposition forces and the federal government that are happening on a possible three fronts right now in three different parts of the country. So it definitely has a national reach, this insecurity and this instability to civilians nationwide, because it's all on the backdrop of the country preparing, or at least on a calendar being ready to have elections at some point soon at the national level for its next president.
It's interesting that you mentioned elections, but also there's a process that has been going on. Only 2 days ago, it was announced that the screening of various forces had been completed, and they're preparing the unification of forces belonging to different parties of the peace agreement. But your report says the unification process, as well as the anticipated elections, may also be sources of conflict that may lead to the commission of human rights atrocities against civilians. Please explain that part to me.
So on paper, the unification of the forces makes sense. If you look at a peace agreement, you can't have two armed actors not under one unified command. You have a peace agreement, you have one government, you have one federal government, you should have one federal force. But in reality, they're pushing various forces together of opposition and federal forces who their leadership hasn't even resolved the conflict between the opposition and the current government. By forcing this, even though it's on paper and it's agreed to, it's going to bring all of these pre-existing tensions and unresolved conflicts to a head. And as we've seen in the past, once you get close to actually really forcing these troops together, forcing these armed actors together, tensions build, and they have on occasion boiled over. In particular, they boiled over in Juba in 2016, and it resulted in lots of looting, lots of killing, and lots of human rights violations, where when the forces were clashing, then they take it out on the communities that represent their ethnic the ethnicity of the forces.
What about elections, which are encouraged by the international community, but also agreed to by the parties to the peace agreement? And officials have been on the record recently promising to hold elections in 2023. And that's supposed to be a hope to stem violence and offer the young nation a fresh beginning. How can it be a source of worry or conflict?
The elections will be a source of conflict if they're not done, if they're not organized transparently, if it's truly not a way in which all actors and political parties, and frankly, even civilians, like there's a whole new generation that wants to take a part in their civic life and have a active part in their development and the course and the future of their country. So elections can be a wonderful and beautiful thing if they're credible, if they're transparent, and if it's secure for people to actually participate. There's no guarantees. And it doesn't seem like the structures are in place. And the commission, we hope that there's a credible and unbiased electoral commission that can put all these measures in place to make sure that everybody can vote, including those that are displaced, including those that are in areas that might not be voting in favor of the current government, and including people who are outside the country and are refugees, but are citizens of this country.
And your report lays out recommendations. So what should be done to avoid the imminent risk of mass atrocities against civilians that you speak of?
Yes. Well, overall, we have specific, I would really refer your listeners to the specific recommendations that we have for all the actors involved. I mean, first and foremost, for the parties to the conflict, they have to quit killing their civilians. This has gone on for decades in South Sudan. There is a tolerance of violence that is unacceptable, and we have to hold those accountable who are committing violence against civilians. And then within the frame of who's involved, we have regional actors like the African Union and IGAD, as well as the South Sudanese government. All these entities are working on a peace agreement that has yet to fully be implemented, but also Where is the prioritization of implementing the parts of the peace agreement that would really make the average citizen's life better? And in many parts of that is in Chapter 5, where it talks about compensation for victims. It talks about a truth and reconciliation and healing commission that is really credible and accessible to all. It talks about a court of justice that the African Union is supposed to be supporting with the South Sudanese government. And all of these things have been delayed or obstructed or sidelined for other parts of the peace agreement.
That was Nicole Wethersham, Senior Policy Advisor at the Simon Scott Center for the Prevention of Genocide, speaking with Nabil Biagio here in Washington. The World Health Organization and the European Investment Bank have partnered with the European Union and the African Union to help improve well-being of Africans. Together, they will raise in investment 1 billion euros to help close gaps in the funding of healthcare on the continent. In the 6th EU and AU summit in Brussels, the EU committed to help African countries reach the UN's health-related sustainable development goals. Maureen Ojiambo reports from Sacramento, California.
More than 40 African leaders are in Brussels, Belgium for a two-day summit that is aimed at reaffirming the European Union's influence in Africa on Thursday. The EU offered several packages of support to boost health, education and stability on the continent. The European Investment Bank will make available at least $568 million to strengthen health systems and more specifically primary health care in sub-Saharan Africa. Director General World Health Organization Tedros Ghebreyesus says investing in health is essential not just to promote and protect health but also lifting people out of poverty.
COVID-19 is a vivid demonstration that health and the economy are closely intertwined. Far beyond its short-term economic impacts, the pandemic has seriously set us back on progress towards the sustainable development goals, which are crucial for long-term economic stability and growth. Closer collaboration between health and finance sectors is therefore essential in three ways. First, we must end the pandemic by fully financing the ACT Accelerator.
Vena Hoye is the president of the European Investment Bank, EIB. He says partnership between the EIB and the World Health Organization will strengthen public health across Africa.
Africa and Europe are committed to tackling shared global challenges of building a better future after the pandemic. Strengthening cooperation and partnerships between Europe and Africa is crucial to delivering sustainable development. EIB Global, as part of Team Europe, looks forward to even closer cooperation with African and European partners to improve lives and ensure a more sustainable future.
Despite many promises from the EU, African leaders want the former colonizers to give back to the continent. Kenya and the EU have started negotiations to close a new deal with commitments to sustainable development. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa says he and other African leaders would like an intellectual property rights for COVID vaccines and treatments addressed.
But we now need to move to the TRIPS dispensation where we can make our own vaccines, and that to us is very important. Well, it means mutual respect, mutual recognition of what we can all bring to the party, investment in our economies, infrastructure investment, and in many ways for former colonizers to give back to the continent.
President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, says the EU has offered a new deal that gives way to better trade, cooperation and economic development.
The most precious investment you can do is the investment in people. We want investments in quality infrastructure, connecting people and goods and services. We can expect a package of at least 150 billion euros for Africa for the next 7 years. This is the first package under our global gateway strategy. And now we need you to tell us what the needs are and what the needs for the best for the people is.
The summit is aimed at strengthening AU-EU strategic partnerships in trade and investments as well as other areas, climate change, the COVID-19 pandemic, peace and security. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. We love to hear your comments on issues in this program. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. Many of you commented this week on recent acts of intercommunal violence in various parts of South Sudan, such as Jacob Dior Machweng from Yoro Lake State, who says, "The conflict that broke out between Dinkangok of Abyei and the Twitch of Warap State was barbaric. The loss of lives and property in the two sisterly areas will never be recovered. I call upon the government of the two areas to resolve the conflict. May the souls of those who perished rest in peace." Peter says, "Dear John and Nabil, allow me to convey my condolences to Chief Lado Eldarwani, killed by SSPDF soldiers in Lanya, and those who lost their lives in Agog in Bahar Ghazal due to communal conflicts. May their souls rest in peace." Mading Malwal Alwong from Malakal Town says, "In countries which run by men of humility, hearts and values, if any incident has fallen upon the citizens of the state, the head of the state would stop the work and go to see the incidents himself and mourn with the bereaved families, be it a man-made incident or natural disaster. The conflicts which are being fueled by politicians between Rueng and Bantu are annoying. Our government should intervene." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 of Bor Town says, "As the dry season approaches, I am appealing to state authorities, especially the cattle keepers in states, to be vigilant as cattle raiding and fighting over pasture and water will be on the rise as cattle keepers are on the move in search for water and pasture. What happened in Unity State and Rueng is sad news." Lazarus Arob Maywen Malek in Juba says, "Lake State was one of the dangerous places for both citizens and foreigners to live peacefully in South Sudan, marred by cattle raids and revenge killings. It is the opposite now under Governor Rin Twain's leadership. I would like to voice my humble appreciation to General Rin Twain Mabor, Governor of Lake State, for restoring peace across the state. This able governor has transformed lions into lambs. I wish Rin Twain were the governor of all 10 states. Peace is our dividend in South Sudan. Congratulations, long live Governor Rin Twain. Long live South Sudan." Tondi Datian from Awil Town says, "Hello VOA. The invitation of Dinka Malwal by Miserie tribe from Sudan to attend the peace conference that will commence next week in Meram is unacceptable, as we are still extremely mourning our beloved innocent people, including women and children who were killed in cold blood last month in the Yin Padol area of Awil East County, northern Bahar Ghazal State, at the hands of Miserie." John McWay Amom from St. Andrew Cathedral in Bor Town of Jonglei State writes, "Hello John, the killing of innocent civilians by suspected groups and unknown gunmen across South Sudan is dangerous to the implementation of peace. What happened in the Abyei administrative area is not good." Martin Manuel Wugol in Uganda says, "The proposed immediate graduation of unified forces is a welcome development and a political achievement in the implementation of the peace agreement. Kudos to the president and all opposition forces who are signatories to the peace agreement. Congratulations." Samuel Remo in Yale writes, "Hello John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. We, the indigenous people of South Sudan who are living within the country and those living abroad, are happy for the graduation of the unified forces. But my worry is that I don't think those forces are trained professionals according to world expectations. If no proper training is done with those forces, they will keep on respecting their parties but not parties in the whole country." Isaac Hamis in Yambio in Western Equatoria State says, "Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus. Congratulations to the President General Salva Kiir for declaring today the graduation of 50,000 unified forces. Let this be real this time because several announcements have been made but never executed. Chapter 2, which is about security arrangements, is the key provision in this revitalized agreement. Citizens of this country are tired of war. Please, my President, bring peace now. Thanks." Mabor Alatrengo from Rumbek Lake State says, "Hello John Tanza and Nabil. The decision made by the new central manager to auction off huge amounts of dollars into the black market is like adding fuel to fire. This cannot help the citizens. The dollar rate still remains high and prices of commodities are skyrocketing. This idea has to be reversed and the government has to use these millions of dollars to purchase goods outside the country and bring them in and sell them to us at affordable prices." Maboj Garang Maboj from Juba says, I would like to appreciate the team of health specialists from Egypt that are currently on the ground in Bor helping the community by offering them vaccinations. Actually, we term this as a good bilateral relation between these two countries, and may it continue like that. Yaba Musa from Yei River County says, it is a good move taken by the parties of the 2018 peace agreement to graduate the unified soldiers. But my question is, are we really going to have friendly soldiers, or just like the current ones who look at civilians as their enemies? Tong Chuni Yong Kwai from Juba says, to me, it's a good move taken by the presidency to graduate the first unified forces in training centers for 2 years. But our leaders do like to announce the information without implementation. I hope God helps South Sudanese citizens. Isaac Tang Dag in Bantu of Unity State says, I'm glad to tell my fellow South Sudanese that we should not expect anything from this government, RT Gono. Corruption may not stop. Every time a leader is appointed, he or she reshuffles the system to appoint relatives. This is common in Unity State where nothing is publicized. Thanks Nabil Biagio and John for your time. Guya Moses John, who says he's a South Sudanese refugee living in Bidibidi refugee settlement in Uganda, says, hello VOA, we are getting bowed living in refugee camps. Please, Mr. Kier should hurry with the issue of the peace talks in Rome with the umbrella group of Thomas Cirillo of NAS. Dong Mading from Rumbek writes, it is very unfortunate to lose our police personnel. We spent almost 8 months without hearing death cases in the state, and we thank Chwebet County government for identifying the criminals. Majang Marko Majok from Warab State says, World Radio Day is very crucial to everybody because radio is the voice of the voiceless, but not for hate speech. However, when I hear the celebration of World Radio Day, I realize what was said by our late president, Dr. John Garang Mabior. He said, let us take the town to the village. And finally, Chol Philip Kwan in Haimachor Bor in Jongole State says, hello VOA, I would like to take this tremendous opportunity to thank the President of the Republic of Egypt for sending specialist doctors to South Sudan to his brother and friend Salva Kiir Mayardit. And I would like to thank our President Salva Kiir for sending specialist doctors to Jongole State to come and treat various diseases from the local population in the state. Bravo to whoever decided to allow these doctors to come to Jongole State and treat our people. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. We enjoy hearing and sharing your thoughts. Keep those comments coming.
Send your brief comments and we will sample some of your remarks every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now end the show with Mede Musica and the song Labi Amaro.
Labi Amaro Nimikata Amaro Mururu Olena Mari Vono Andrenandero Cecilia
Labi Amaro Nimikati Amaro
Atane Morosi
Olena Amari Oso Mururu Nye Vono Andrenandero
Tiso Njine Desi
Oso Ati Amabesi Na Mururu Nye
Limingo
Utane Jine Oso Nga Winga Keti Akuru Nye
Mondo lobi na toro pasi. Azifu azifu.
Uni takachi na rube. Uni takachi na rube.
Tika tatara lukuru.
Lobi amaru.
Minga kuru.
Mikachi amaru.
Belenwa.
Wale na amari asomuru nye kona onene.
We've been listening to Mede Musica and the song Labi Amaro. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for being with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Luba moroto ni munre yasi Luindi bamilube ikola kama dindieri Kedi bala nyende mambolo singo wandi barita pari
Jambo amati agu kotobi
Abanda naru nga kidine Ogu osane agu abana marayasi Iza chuaru obane
Otoli waru nyako kape
Agu pa